وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم سافول يودواز. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah, inna allaha ma'as sabirin. O you who believe, seek help by means of patience and salah. Verily, Allah is with the patient ones. The command to seek help through patience and salah. The literal meaning of the word patience, sabr, is to stop or to prevent. In the Islamic Shari'i law, it is used with the following three connotations: to apply oneself to the obedience and worship of Allah, to prevent oneself from committing sins, to persevere and to be patient with the difficulties brought on by various calamities in such a way that one is content with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without objection. At the same time, one should aspire for Allah's reward in these trying times. People generally interpret patience and sabr only in the third category. They do not even consider the first two, whereas all three categories are part of its meanings. The common factor in all three categories involves the suppression of one's carnal desires and abstention from all deeds which constitute disobedience to Allah. The person who adopts all three forms of sabr will become the beloved of Allah, and Allah's mercy and help will be in his attendance. Allah says in Surah Zumar, the patient ones will receive their full reward without reservation. The virtues and importance of sabr. The importance of patience and gratitude cannot be overemphasized in the short life of a believer, which seems to last only as long as a fleeting star. Whether in ease, comfort, or in difficulty, these traits are always beneficial. Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the condition of a believer, a mu'min, is astonishing. Every condition is a source of good to him, and this cannot be attained by any other besides the believer, the mu'min. When he experiences favorable conditions, he is grateful, and this is good for him. On the other hand, when he experiences adverse conditions, he is patient, and this too is excellent for him. A hadith is reported in Bukhari Sharif, wherein the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no one has ever received a gift better and vaster than patience. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who has been blessed with four qualities has gained the good of this world and the year after. And these qualities are: a thankful heart, a tongue constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is dhikr, a body which can bear difficulties, A wife who is not unfaithful to her husband, neither with regard to her chastity nor his wealth. So in life, some difficulty will have to be experienced, but being patient will open the doors to numerous bounties. One will then receive such favors which one cannot imagine. Difficulties befall every person, whether he be a believer or a disbeliever, a kafir or pious or impious, anybody. The difference is that those who are patient accrue rewards and are assured Allah's help and mercy. On the contrary, those who do not exercise patience, they grumble, raise objections, and are not satisfied with the decree of Allah. Their difficulty is thus prolonged, and they are deprived of reward. Those who object to Allah's decision become disbelievers. In reality, those who are truly adversely affected by a calamity are those who are deprived of the reward of exercising patience. The person who perseveres in the face of adversities reaches elevated positions in the hereafter. His difficulty is, in reality, no difficulty at all, since he has received the recompense in full. In this world, it will be witnessed that people toil in their duties the entire month, undergoing much difficulty. Laborers work hard in the heat of the sun, but because they are due to receive their full remuneration, they endure the difficulty happily. They do not consider their work as a burden. Now let's look at Salah as a means of averting calamities. Together with patience, Salah is also mentioned as a means by which assistance can be sought. Salah is a great tool by which the help of Allah may be secured and relief gained from every type of difficulty. Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala narrates that whenever any adversity afflicted the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would engage in Salah. The obligatory Fard Salah is always of utmost importance. But for relief from any adversity, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would especially perform Nafil and mandatory Salah. Salatul Hajah for requesting help, Salatul Istikhara for requesting counsel on a specific issue, and Salatul Istisqa for requesting rain, have all been reported from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All have been prescribed for securing Allah's mercy and assistance. Some traditions concerning this subject have already been mentioned in the discussion of the verse, and seek assistance through patience and salah. It is the general practice of man that whenever any misfortune befalls, he begins formulating thousands of plans. He tries to secure the help of all creation, totally forgetting patience and salah. Instead of procuring the needed assistance, he loses patience instead. Only a few would perform salah. Many would not even perform the obligatory, the first salah, let alone supererogation, and that is nafil salats. They also continue to engage in the sins they always commit. So how can the mercy and help of Allah be expected? Verily, Allah is with the patient ones. It is truly a great fortune for the patient people that they acquire the companionship of Allah. When a person of even a little official status offers us his support, we take great courage and solace from this. However, when Allah promises his support for the patient ones, no one seems convinced, and people continue to express intolerance when afflicted by a calamity. In reality, a believer and a mu'min should never be despondent or worried, because he is assured of success by being constant in salah and remaining patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Noble Quran, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And do not say regarding those who have been martyred in Allah's cause that they are dead. Nay, they are alive, but you perceive it not. The virtue of the martyrs. It is recorded in Asbab al-Nuzul that this verse was primarily revealed with regard to those Muslims who were martyred in the Battle of Badr. These were 8 from the Ansar and 6 from the Muhajirin, the migrants. It was revealed when some people said concerning some of these martyrs that they were dead and deprived of the pleasures and boons of this world. When people emerged from their homes in the defense of Allah's religion and intending its propagation, wars will take place. In these wars, it is obvious that not only disbelievers will be killed, but many Muslims will also lose their lives. These Muslims have been accorded the honorable title of martyrs and shuhada. Their rank is very high, and they are promised lofty stages in the grave, superior to others. For this reason, the verse tells us not to refer to them, as people cannot, however, perceive this exist. We cannot refer to them as dead, since their lives in the graves are far better than that of the other deceased. People cannot, however, perceive this existence of the martyrs. Shuhada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 169 and 170 of Surah Ali Imran, never consider those slain in Allah's way to be dead. Indeed, they are alive, being sustained by their Lord. They are jubilant with what their Lord gives them from His bounty. In the realm of the grave, the barzakh, the existence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is most pronounced. The earth does not decompose their bodies at all. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, Allah has prohibited the earth from consuming the bodies of the prophets alaihi wasallam. Their lives in the grave are so distinguished from others that it is evident even some of their worldly affairs, example, their inheritance is not distributed, and their wives may not be married after them. After the prophets alayhi wasalam, the status of the martyrs, shuhada, is most superior, as was elucidated in the verse under the discussion, as well as the one in Surah Ali Imran cited above. After these two categories come the rest of the people, who will either receive punishment or peace in their graves. The details of this are recorded in the books of Hadith. The martyr and shaheed receives this great rank because he has sacrificed his life and wealth in the path of Allah. The honor which he will witness in the life of Barzakh will cause all the pleasures in this world to seem totally worthless. Sayyidina Masrook rahmatullahi says that they queried from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud concerning the verse, never consider those slain in Allah's way to be dead. Indeed, they are alive, being sustained by their Lord. They are jubilant with what their Lord gives them from His bounty. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, we inquired the very same from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to which he replied, the souls of the martyrs and shuhada are within the bellies of green birds who perch upon lanterns suspended from Allah's throne. These birds travel throughout heaven wherever they please, then return to these lanterns. Allah asks His souls what they desire, to which they say, what more can we ask for? We traverse wherever we wish in heaven, eat and drink as we please. Allah repeats the question thrice. When they realize that some reply must be given, they answer, we wish that our souls be returned to our bodies, so that we again get ourselves slain in your path. Since return to the world is not allowed, they will be left as they are, for they are content. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who passes away and receives good fortune, there is safety from punishment, and he receives Allah's blessings, will never want to return to this world, even though he receives everything the world has to offer. The only exception is the martyr and the shaheed, who will love to return so that he may again be killed in the path of Allah, because of the great virtue of martyrdom which he will have experienced. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by the being in whose hands is my life, that I wish to be slain in the path of Allah, then given life again, then slain again, then given life, then slain, and given life to be slain yet again. In spite of holding the great mantle of prophethood, which excels all other positions. The Holy Prophet ﷺ expressed the wish to be martyred over and over again. Divine wisdom obviously presides in the fact that the wish of the Holy Prophet ﷺ was not literally fulfilled. However, the Holy Prophet ﷺ did pass away as a martyr and shaheed, since his death was caused by the poisoned goat meat he had eaten in the Battle of Khaybar. A Jewish lady gave this to him, and although the effect was not immediate, it did surface towards the end of his life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sacrifices that he made for this ummah. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.